I'll tell you what, you can't just be around and have a bad day. I'm going to tell you that now. If there's nothing else I know, you can't be around when you're bored and have a bad day. Come on up, listen.
Thank God for who He is to us. Some like to say, we look beyond our faults and see our needs. And then there's a scripture that says, He took us out of the muck and the mire and transformed us into His marvelous light. Then there's an old adage that says, He took my dirty soul, dipped it in His red blood, and now I'm white as snow. So if you will, just for a minute, look at somebody and say, I'm glad to see you. Come on, you can be more sincere than that. Just look at somebody and say, I am glad to see you. Come on, look at somebody else. Tell them I am glad to see you. Now one more person, just look at a different person and put a Kool-Aid smile on your face and say, I'm glad to see you. Amen. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sisters to dwell together in union. I just made the sister in up, so. It's a word. Sister. Sister, listen, we're going to go ahead. I don't know how much time I have up here, but.
You
good? Okay. All right. I don't know when it's going on too far. I don't be long. I intend to come up and allow God to use me. And sometimes, it's not like it goes long, but there's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit that is always necessary, and we have to give room for God to back His words up. He said, these signs shall follow them. So when you preach the gospel, when you present the gospel, when you tell people of His goodness, then God, we like to say, like to show up and show out. So He watches over His word to perform it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So when you put the word out there, He's going to perform it. And the scripture declares that He who had begun a good work in you, somebody say in me, shall continue it until the day of Christ or Jesus Christ's return. So He's not finished with you, and He's got something. He has something for you. Here and after here. So we have got to be attentive. We have got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because God wants to do something to you and then through you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Okay, I know what I'm going to do. Say amen.
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 Amen. Okay, if you don't say it anymore, I got three out of everybody. I'm set, so you don't have to say amen every time. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the scripture, and then we're going to pray again, and then we're going to allow God to open up the eyes of our understanding that they may be enlightened. If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you would turn with me to the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is in the New Testament, the 10th chapter, and I'll put my glasses on so I can see what I'm saying. How many glad to be here this morning? Amen. We do honor Pastor Gary Green in his absence from this podium. We pray for the expedient of his healing and the Holy Spirit to restrain him from his stubbornness. We pray that the Holy Spirit would penetrate him. And we pray, I agree that Sister Andrea have the patience of Job when it comes down to it, and I know she did, we thank God for her. And I'm also glad that Agape Forum Community Center is here in support. We love the Living Waters Church. We love you all, and it's like the brother and sister thing in the Lord. And I'm especially privileged and honored that my daughter and son is here, Jamila and Jeremiah. Would you please stand for Jamila? She smiles all the time. Jeremiah, we thank God for them. They're from Ypsilanti, Michigan. And they rode 22 hours on a Greyhound bus to come spend 2 weeks with their dad. And I'm so grateful. And we just been having some wonderful conversations. I know their ears is wore out from all that talking I do. And we do honor you, Andrea Green. We thank God for you. She's the first lady. I don't know how appropriate that is. If there's a first lady, there might be a second lady. No, so. You the beginning and the end. How many got Mark, the 10th chapter? Amen. If you just be so kind for me, you rest to your feet as I read this scripture, and then we'll get all the preliminaries out the way. All the preliminaries. If you have to say that, and it reads as follows, the 17th verse. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, then, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Father in heaven, God is good. I believe that's what has been said throughout this morning. God is good. And we like to echo, God is good all the time, God is good. And we say that, but God is good. And the wonderful thing about God is he's good in spite of who we are and where we are in the arena of life. It does not matter. It does not matter whether you've got it all together or not. God is still good. Amen. Whether you dot the I's and cross the T's, God is good. As a matter of fact, he's so wonderful that he said, "I'll continue to reign on the just as well as the unjust." So, you know, whether you got it together or not, it's going to rain. You're going to have the plenteous whether you got it together or not. It's just we have to acknowledge.
learn to acknowledge God, and God is good. His thoughts toward us are good. His ways is good.
Yes.
We just got to come to that knowledge. And sometimes, because we condemn ourselves, we cannot behold the goodness of God. Because we look at what the enemy is doing, or what society is doing, and it looks like they're winning. It looks like they're advancing. It looks like they're progressing. It looks like we're not getting anywhere. We're just spinning our wheels. But God is good.
Yes.
So you have this discourse of a conversation with this brother, wealthy man that perhaps understand what the law is. So he comes to Jesus, and he presents Jesus with the situation. And I can imagine he's prideful because he's been doing things. But God looks at the heart, doesn't he?
Yes.
Man looks at the exterior. They look at your attire. They look at your stature. They look at your home, how big it is, and how long your car is, and how much jewelry you have on, and how articulate you are, and how well mannerable you are, and they say you are somebody. And Jesus looked at a group of people and he said, yes, you honored me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. Your heart. Then he looked at him and said, you dress well, but inside is like dead man's bones. You're like a sepulcher. You're full of death. Yeah, you got your scriptures all on your sleeves, and yes, you're fair, you see. Y'all getting fair saying? Yes, you look fair. Yes, you make the outward appearance of somebody, but on the inside, then there's another accountability. They're going to say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do that? He goes, and yes, but you work of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, they never allowed Jesus to come in and take residence and become their Lord. Many people can call him Savior. We talked about that. Yes, he'll save you. But then you have to give up the reins of your life and allow him to govern you. That's Lord. That's the master we're talking about. But here we have a discourse of a particular person that wants to know what it is to inherit eternal life. The first thing he did was call Jesus good. And Jesus confronted that. He said, good master, Jesus knows who he is, but do you know who he is? He's well secured that he came from above. He has no problem with that. But if you're going to call him good, you're going to have to know what you're talking about. You just can't call Jesus Lord and call him good and not understand what you're saying. We used to always echo, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Well, if he's good all the time, why when you're in your dilemma or you're in your state that he's still, he's not good then? Now, when we're bombarding heaven, we're knocking on heaven's door, we're telling Jesus to come now, he says, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. He said, now faith is, but Jesus has not answered. Why? Because the predicament has dictated how good he is.
Right.
What are you saying? I'm saying no matter what the devil is doing, God is still good.
Yes.
Don't let your circumstances tell you that he's not good. Don't let no enemy get in your ear and say he's not good. God is good in spite of, and if he don't heal you, it's not that he couldn't. He just knew that healing or that not healing or the healing that you wanted will keep your attention. I'm saying that he don't come when you want him.
Right.
No.
But he'll come on time now.
Yes.
You can't make God do nothing.
Amen.
You can't make him good. You ever get a whooping? Right before you get a whooping, you get the explanation. And if they stop right then and there, you got the illumination, you got it all together, they don't need to whoop you, right? But you get the whooping anyhow, don't you? Right before you get the whooping, the light bulb comes on. You've got it all together. There's no need to whoop you. I remember my father explaining to me, and I'm a Christian. about to get the whooping. I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, I know it's yes, sir, now. You still get this thing. I said, I understand. But you get the whooping anyhow. Because the objective is, apparently, it didn't sink in. So you violate it. And the consequence is these stripes, which will heal you, of course, right? By these stripes. Y'all don't get it. Hello, somebody. It's funny how your rear end is connected to your brain. It pops on that long enough, it'll click in. You got it now. Well, here's a discourse with this young man, very wealthy, of course. And he talks to Jesus about exterior praise to God, exterior things that you do to show that you're saved. And you dot the I and cross the T, you do all of this stuff called religious. And people applaud things. But how many know God is a spirit? Jesus talks to him and have this discourse. But the main thing that I want to bring to your attention this morning is Jesus put him right in check in the very beginning. Why callest thou me good? See, he knows what's coming next. But let's get the first thing straight first. How you gonna call God good? And then when trouble comes along, you resort back to old familiar territory. If he's good, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If he's good, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If he's good, don't waver, don't panic, don't get into a frenzy. If you cast your cares upon him, don't be full of anxiety. Don't you start telling God how to fix this situation. You wait upon the Lord with earnest expectations. You have that confidence. You walk on that water. You let the waves and the turbulence make all the noise they want. But you walk on the water. Because Jesus is on the seashore, and if you start drowning, he'll pull you up. You ever notice that scripture? He told Peter to come, listen to me, I'm going to hit some light bulbs in a minute. He told Peter to come. Little boy's still in the ship. They don't know if it's a ghost or what. They go, oh my God, there goes Peter. Peter jumps out. Lord, I'm not even sure if it's you, but if it is you, you just tell me to come. Jesus said, I tell you what you do, Peter. I want you to get out of the ship. No, he just said, come, didn't he? That was somebody. That was convincing enough for Peter. Wait a minute, girl. You can't sleep on this. You want to come up here? All right. Maybe we need to turn the microphone up a little bit louder. That's she, John. She got that beloved spirit. She loved the rest. Jesus tell Peter, like all of us, just come. You don't need a lot of explanation. Walk on the water. Don't worry about who's left in the boat. They're probably still full of anxiety. They're probably not persuaded. You can't look back once you start walking toward Jesus. It don't matter who you left. That's not your issue. That's his issue. Anyone that has left brothers, houses, mothers, fathers, for my name's sake, I'll qualify, shall be rewarded 100-fold in this lifetime and in the life to come. You won't get it back. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Peter walks on the water. Now, the water is wet. It didn't say Peter couldn't feel it. I'm sure it did. You're going to feel something when you're walking on the water. Now, hold somebody. The water didn't stand still. Water does its thing. It moves. It carries. It splashes. It's wet. And and it's cold and you can feel it, but you can walk on it. If you stay focused on Jesus,
Amen.
He gets gooder and gooder, don't he?
Amen.
And a new word, I'm going to teach you. That's the word. Right now, down to it. He's sweeter than sugar in the honeycomb. The song says Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Because you begin to have intimacy with him, and you know that he promised to never leave you or forsake you. That's how he gets gooder, if you will. Because the relationship becomes enhanced the more you trust in him with that particular part of your heart. That's why we have hard situations. We have hard circumstances, so you can trust him with that heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Typically, we put things back into our own hands. There was a conversation, there was disparity back in the boat, but Peter stayed focused, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, same thing with you all. God has no respect for person. Walk on the water. Amen, somebody. Walk on the water. Don't worry about it. Let the water do what it's going to do. Water has voices. Makes a lot of noise. You ever sat by the seashore and just listened to the thrushing of the waves? Makes a lot of noise. And if you caught up in it, if you're in the turbulence of it, it can rock your boat, if you will. You get all frantic. So he has this discourse with this young man. And he said, why are you calling me good? Do you have a revelation or something? Do you know that every good and perfect gift come from above? Are you familiar with everything that is good is in God's hand? Are you calling me God? That's the challenge he is saying to us this morning. Do you know him to be good? Or is he all right? Or is he just good when you're on the mountain? Is he good in the valley?
Amen.
The valley of decisions. The valley where there's no wind and there's no air. In the valley, it's tough down there. You can't breathe like you can on the mountain. The mountain is jubilee and celebration. The valley is a lot of despair and hopelessness. Is God still good? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter, like he always done. Fix your heart. And that's what he told him in short. Sell everything that you possess. Sell everything that you think qualified you to be somebody. If any man wants to follow me, he or she must deny yourself. That's the whole summary of this discourse. Deny what caused you to be somebody in this world, give it to somebody that can't repay you, and follow me, and you'll possess everything you need concerning life and godliness. First Peter. Call me good if you want to, because I will cause you to deny yourself. That's how good I am. Because most of our problems is self-affliction. The devil didn't make me do drugs. I'm sorry. He didn't take that stuff and put it to my mouth. My brain commanded my hand. My brain told my mouth to inhale it. My brain took my lungs and sucked all of it in. And then the hallucination started that my brain couldn't handle. My brain told my hand to grab that drink. And my flesh cooperated, of course. And my mouth opened up and I took the drinks. My brain just couldn't handle it after three. Consequently, my body showed that my brain couldn't handle it. There goes the weevil wild, right? What's wrong with you? Nothing. Something wrong with your brain? No. You can't blame that on the devil now. He may put it out there, but you are a free moral agent. You have the right to either do it or don't. When you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to always give in to what's there. The allurement of the first chapter and the 17th verse says? Are you familiar with those types of scripture? He said, I've kept all of the commandments from my youth up. I'm somebody. Be careful when men start applauding you for what you're doing. That's a forewarning. Because God is looking at your heart. And if you're looking for the acceptance of man, you already got your reward. You have got to exchange the applause for the approval of the Holy Spirit. Study to show yourself approval unto who? Not to man. Because man will say Hosanna 1 week and crucify him the next week. I've heard it before. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. If you want to recognize anything good, you got to look up. You can't look in the mirror. You can't depend on what man says is good. There was a situation at a baseball game, and a person jumped out of the audience and was streaking on the field. And the people in the crowd were just cheering, oh, look at this thing. And they laughing, and this guy, butt naked, running throughout the bases. And here's the security. They come out the gates, they after him. And the crowd just laughing at the guy, but when the security came, they said, boo, boo, because they had to tackle the guy, of course, and restrain him. What's wrong with that picture? How dare we parade and support somebody that is perverted and all these cameras and spectators around. And we call that good. Yay, it's funny. But then when the people that do their job, they extinguish the situation, we boo them. The Bible says, be careful when men start calling good bad and bad good. You got to be spiritually discerned, because everything that the world qualified to be good ain't good now. God is good, ain't he? Turn with me to the book of Joshua, 23rd chapter. I'll read to expedite time. God is good, and he wants you to know that. 14th verse, this is Joshua speaking. Are my young people listening?
Joshua what?
Joshua, the 23rd chapter, 14th verse. Joshua is an old man. He done ran his course. He done seen what God has done through Moses. He done dealt with the people. He's an old man. And he said these words. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know, this is what he's saying. And you know, there's just some things you need to know now. Church right now. Joshua said, listen. concerning you. When you read this book full of promises, if you can apply it to yourself, it's good and it will not fail. We got something far better than what they had. We got the Holy Ghost. We got a new covenant. We got God living on the inside. We got a good, wonderful, loving Father that wants to rest, rule, and abide in each of us. We got the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide us in all truth and righteousness for His name's sake. God is good, and the goodness of Jesus, the goodness of the Holy Spirit, all live in you. And that can't fail. He's involved. Oh, you can mess up, but He can straighten your mess right on up. He can pick you up and put you on solid ground.
Yes.
Oh, we good. We specialize in messing up, but He specializes in salvaging. He can save you even from yourself. That's how good God is.
Yes.
Talking about God. He said, now you know that. You're aware of that. But if you don't know, for the record, before I die, let me share it with you again in case you forgot. Not one good thing has failed concerning what God says about you. It won't fail. You have a vision to accomplish, and the good stuff will come to pass. If He said it, that settles it. You settle. His word is settled, isn't it?
Yes.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word gonna remain, man. You settle. It's already settled. He says, concerning you, all are come to pass. I'm almost finished. Unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof. Pick a promise. Matter of fact, let me challenge you. Pick 10 promises. And put your name in there. Put your family in there. And not one thing will fail. It's a promise. God watches over His word to perform it. You speak it into your atmosphere. You speak it into your condition. You remember? He told Peter, come. Peter walked on that word. In spite of adverse circumstances. He didn't need a cohorts. He didn't need no children. As a matter of fact, I believe he had adversity even amongst his own peers. Because they thought it was a ghost or a spirit or something. And you let somebody say it's a ghost up in here. Think it's going to be cool, calm, and collect?
No.
Somebody going to run and be all for that person. Who you going to call?
Power
praying, if you set these things in front of him, he won't have the urge. Some of us do because we don't understand the power we possess in us. It's greater than anything that's in the world. But if you think you have the power to do what you want to do, then what's going to happen? You're going to deceive yourself. The power is to help somebody else. The fruit of the Spirit is for others to pick off of your tree. The gift of the Spirit is for others to get healed or get enlightened by who Jesus is. We represent Jesus. We don't glutton and hoard Jesus. Freely we receive. Freely we do what?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did I say in my conclusion? I'll say it now. In my conclusion, God is good in spite of your situation. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. That's not just talking your physical, but it's talking your emotion. It's talking about your mental health. It's talking about your psychological health. See, you've got to have a healthy outlook on who Jesus is. And Jesus is good in spite of everything else. He said these words, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, that where I may be, that where I'm at, you can be also. And he's been gone for a while now. I don't know how long he's still been, whether he's putting up some drapes or not. I'm not sure what all he's doing, but he's been gone a while. And if my imagination can play into it, this magic is second to none. But he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Then he prayed, and John, no, you cannot leave with me. I'm going to leave you here. Because I'm trying to fill these mansions up with people and souls. So I need somebody down here that will help compel them and bring them in. See, you didn't get saved because you had it all together. You got saved for a purpose. Hello, somebody. To represent the good God. He's loved us so much that he gave that whosoever can have eternal life. He told the brother, why callest thou me good? You recognize something? You see God in me? Because only God is good, son. And the brother started challenging Jesus, like we always do. Well, if that's you, can I do the Gideon fleece? When there's an inner witness called the Holy Spirit, that's the only fleece you need. He'll lead you by the inward man. Storms don't come. Whether it's in your own house, by permission or not, storms will come. Tribulations are going to come. Afflictions, persecution, misunderstanding. They're going to come. And it doesn't neglect, it doesn't negate, it does not take away that God is good. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Are y'all getting this thing now? I said I'm finished, but if you ain't getting it now, I got to go some more. He's good. Don't you let your situation say that God is not good.
Yes.
Don't you let nobody come and whisper to you that he's not good and you begin to meditate on that thing. He loves us. His thoughts are good toward us. Joshua said that one thing had failed of all the good things. You got to tune in, baby, to the good stuff. You got enough chaos and perverseness around you. It don't take much to describe what the devil's doing. But all things work, cooperate together for the good. Take some lemonade and put a little sugar with it. write into that book. It's going to be an expression on your face. Solid. You ain't been into nothing good, but you put a little sugar with it, bro. Now you're working with something. Faith without works. God loves you. He has some wonderful thoughts towards you. You're going to prosper. But don't you gauge your prosperity by things. You have precious. You have the precious gift of the Holy Spirit rest, rooted, and abiding. It doesn't get any better than that. We're the only species that God created, the only people, the only person, we're the only creature, let me say that, that God has created that can articulate that He's good. Everything else instinctively expressed is good. But we can define it to the best of our vocabulary. Am I right about this? Yes. You can talk about the goodness of Jesus, can't you? You can explain it and somebody can get the picture. Everything else He created instinctively does it. But we can go into dialogue concerning how good God is. Why don't you do it? Don't describe what the devil is doing. I like what Sister Reed did. She began to talk about how God moved obstacles. God was doing it at the beginning of her testimony, through her testimony, and at the end. So now the devil is conjuring up something to take that testimony from you. See, you put it out there. You gave the devil something to work with.